It's Tuesday the 27th of November and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there gents.
Hello there Paul.
Good evening.
And we are back after another 2 week break. These midweek home games really don't suit us at all well, sorry. So we're going to have a run through the last five games that the Devils have faced. I'm not going to read them all out because we'll get onto it soon. We've got a new signing to discuss, obviously our player of the week. And we've got a burning question from Adrian Smith around Umi deals and the effects they have on players. And then probably a bit of a conversation around some of the comments in Andrew Lord's interview after the loss to Milton Keynes. We'll preview the upcoming week's worth of games, starting with the trip to Brayhead tomorrow and then games against Fife and Dundee on the weekend. So plenty to get through and no time at the present to do it. So Saturday, Devils welcomed Nottingham to Cardiff on the back of the 8-1 game, drumming to Belfast the previous Sunday. And I think it was, Sean, you know, I thought it was a good reaction from the Devils. I know we fell behind early and you'll feel like the week before that could have been the end of us, but you know, there seemed to be good energy around the rink on and off the ice.
Yeah, I thought we played really well. We just played the Devils way that we've seen us play in the early days of the season, you know, fast, finishing all our hits. I think from memory, was it the return of Justin Farina?
Yeah.
So you know, Justin Farina returns to the lineup and I think it was our full complement of imports as well for one of the first times this year. So, we started off brightly and we created a lot of chances and, I was really encouraged by how well we started the game.
Aaron, your feet, after Nottingham took that lead after 5 minutes, it was, you know, quite a quick comeback for the Devils less than a minute later, with Sam Duggan getting his first professional goal. With a tip from Bryce Reddick's shot. And probably the next incident of note in that period was Justin Farina having a fight with Guy Lapine. You know, for you, did you think that was needed to keep the energy up in the building and for Farina to maybe put a bit of a marker down in his first game back?
I think it was a number of things. Like you said, Farina was looking to like set the standard for the team. There was a couple of lateds from both teams leading up to the goal and the fight, and I just think Farina wanted to, you know, kind of take responsibility and be like, you know, if you're going to play that way, we can do it too. And went up against one of the captain, one of the best D-men, and one of the toughest guys on the team. It was just like if you whatever you do, I can do better, and I'm going to make you sit down for 5 minutes. And it started a run, and you know we just got on the ball really, and like Sean said, it was back to the Devils team that we seen play them a couple of weeks before, like before the slump.
Good to see it. It was in terms of win loss on a fight card, I don't think it really went in Farina's favour, but you know, it's not always the fights you win that matter, and it definitely got the energy up in the room, in the building even. Devils had a couple of power plays then in the last 5 minutes of the period, and right at the death of the first shot, Joey Haddad finding himself making some space for himself and pinging one in off the inside of the post with just 13 seconds at the end of the period to send the Devils in, you know, probably being a job well done after that opening period.
Yeah, a really, really well opportune goal. It comes at the perfect time. You go straight into the dressing room, you know, with a bit of momentum. And I think off balance, I think we probably deserved it. I thought we were the better side in the first period. And, I think we were, we should have scored a little bit earlier in there. And it was good to see Joey Haddad get on the score sheet. And good to see him get a couple of, you know, some more power play minutes as well, because he has not been on there for, you know, a long time on a regular basis. So good to see him on there and get his reward. And as always, you know, it's good to see the power play getting this groove back and against a good side as well, with a good PK and against a good goaltender.
Yeah, it was a good performance from Alf Garnett, Mike Garnett. I was calling him Alf.
Michael Garnett.
There we go. So we said that Dylan Alston opened the scoring for Panthers with a bullet from the blue line, and it was, you know, towards the end of the second period that, on a power play this time, another absolute rocket, giving Ben Bams no chance really, and you know, the game's tied up at two. At the end of the second, no scoring through the third period. Aaron, your take on the game, that overtime a fair result for you, or did you think one team had done enough to edge it in regulation?
No, it was. I thought it was evenly matched. You know, I think that's the way the Panthers games are going to go this year. I thought both teams played brilliantly, played with an edge, and I think there was probably a few chances that could have gone missing in that third period, but you know what are you going to do really? Well, there was only one power play that we couldn't take advantage of in the first minute, so but yeah, overtime it was.
Sean, Aaron said it, you know, a good game. The first two games against the Panthers were massively, you know, high quality. I think the third one in their barn, still only a one goal loss, but poor performance from the Devils. Perhaps not the quality in the game, in this game, that we saw in those opening two, but you know, another closely run thing, and you know, took a moment of brilliance by who else but Joey Martin to separate the teams in what was a really exciting 2.5 minutes of overtime with a lot of chances created at both ends.
Yeah, Bouncy made a couple of critical saves in the OT as well. I think it was a two on one, which I was certain was gonna, you know, continue our very poor form in overtime. But Bouncy stood tall, and I think that the like you said, just a little bit of magic, a little bit of brilliance from Joey Martin. Michael Garnett absolutely robbed him on the return rush play off the Ben Bounce save. And Martin just wins the draw, puts the puck in the corner off the draw, chases after it, and just does it all himself. Unassisted overtime winning goal, and just roofs it. There was a review on it. I wasn't convinced that it crossed the line.
Either.
Personally. But a lot of people have said that it went in. You know, you've got the goal line technology, this, that and the other, and the referees called it a good goal, and I don't really care if it was a good goal or not. I was quite pleased with the result, but it was a result I think we deserved on balance. I don't think either team deserves to come out of that game with nothing, but I felt like the bounce back that we showed and the resilience to get ourselves after the 5 minute mark going down early on and just coming back from it quickly, I just thought we thoroughly deserved the extra point in that one.
Yeah, I think hard to argue. I think it was a solid performance and exactly what the Devils needed after the debacle of the week before. Sunday gave Devils hell of a trek, heading up to Dundee, ready for a 5 o'clock face-off. Aaron, I don't think you got the webcast, did you?
I did not.
And neither did I. So, Sean, the 6-3 win for the Devils, outshot by Dundee, actually, in the looking at the game sheet. You know, how was the game? How did the Devils perform in this one for you?
Yeah, I thought we were very good. Against a decent Dundee team that have put together some good performances and taken us to OT once up in their barn. So we didn't have a very, very good first period. Obviously, we took the lead early on and managed to take it in there 2-2. But we just weren't ourselves. Given the performance of the Saturday, we didn't quite hit the heights. Obviously, you've got to consider the long travel day that we had. But yeah, we got back to it in the second, and Joey Martin, who else scores a shorthander off some absolutely unbelievable penalty killing work from Sean Bentivoglio. And overall, we deserved to win. We picked it up in the third, and Steve Dixon was absolutely out of this world, as he has been regularly this season, and basically just controlled so much in the offensive zone through good shots on net. And yeah, we deserved the victory to give us our first 4-point weekend in a long time.
Yeah, and a well needed one It was indeed. Before Fife came to Cardiff on Wednesday, Devils had a sign announcement. We weren't recording, so they didn't know when to announce it. And announced Drew Schistel, I believe.
Schistel.
Drew Schistel. It's going to be difficult to get that one in a chance. And he came straight into the team and made his debut against Fife. We'll have a little bit of a chat about him after, once we've summed these games up, about how we think he's settling in. But a strange game, the game against Fife. Aaron, Devils dominant in the first, I felt, and probably 2-0 up to the Devils at the end of that first period with goals from Longley and Pope, potentially flattered Fife a little bit.
Yeah, like I said about the Nottingham game, I thought we was right back at it, and after the result that we had against Fife a couple of weeks ago, I expected us to jump back on them and put the pressure on. We did exactly that. Like you said, two goals. It should have been 4, 5, or 6. It was nice to see Pope grab a goal and maybe get on another hot streak like he did at the end of last year. But at the moment, it's the greasy goals we're scoring, all the pretty ones, except for Martin's OT winner. If we can keep grinding them out like that, I'm sure they'll carry on coming in bunches soon enough.
Yeah, it's a good point, Sean. It's another game where the Devils created a lot of chances. We had a lot of possession, a lot of zone time. It sounded a little bit like the Milton Keynes game when we come onto it. Only your three goals scored from the Devils. You're up against probably one of the best goalies in the league in Shane Owen in Fife. But a 3-0 with 14 minutes left, you're thinking the Devils have probably done enough. And do you think maybe that frame of mind started to creep into the team? And that's when we had the interest in last 7 minutes or so.
Yeah, it feels like every week that we record this podcast, we say we were up against one of the top goalies in the league, because there's just so many good ones at the moment.
Fife, to be fair.
Say again, sorry. And we do keep playing Fife, yeah. I think there was a bit of that. Obviously, you have to factor in that it was one of the midweek games. A good crowd as well, with the first £6.66 ticket deal coming into play. And I thought the crowd was really good, actually. It made for a good atmosphere, and the performance was very, very good. I thought, like you said to Aaron, that 2-0 in the first period flattered them. But Shane Owen keeps them in the game, and if you've got a good goalie in this league and you aren't up to scratch, then sometimes that gives you a chance of being able to win the game. And he did do that for them. They get on the board with a power play goal, and then an absolutely brutal shorthanded goal to concede with under 2 minutes to go. How we allow that goal shorthanded is absolutely beyond me. Total complacency, and we find ourselves starting to panic a little bit, and I was quite relieved to hear the final buzzer, but that game should have been over in the second period. We should have been light years ahead of Fife based on what we created.
Yeah, a lot of chances, and obviously no scoring in the second, with Longley getting the third early on. Aaron, for you, that power play the Devils got with 2.5 minutes left, Fife had got one to get back into it. Were you just surprised to see normal power play lines going out there with the standard 1D man and one forward running the point? Would you have expected to see a standard 5-on-5 line rotating just to make sure that something like that didn't happen?
I think if we played with them like a normal line, I think that shows to Fife that we are possibly scared of their breakaway. I know they did break away and score on us anyway, but I think it's all about the mentality. I think if you go out there with the mentality to score and be aggressive, then that's possibly where you're going to play. But I think it did backfire on us, but I think if you keep on playing the same style of hockey, things are going to work, or they might not work. I personally, as a coach, I probably would have done the same thing. But over the last 2 or 3 years, we've never been great. We usually get a couple of shorties scored on us. luckily we could have closed the game out and we did win it. But it's all like what ifs in it. Like, what if we did play two D-men? Would they have scored? You know, both the D-men could have been deep behind the goal line and it still would have happened. But it's just chances you've got to take, innit?
And yeah, you know, hindsight's 20/20, so it's quite easy to ask. It's a lot easier to ask the questions now than making the decisions when you're faced with it in a game situation. You know, as Sean said, they did get the goal with just under 2 minutes left, and Devils did hold out for another win and, you know, a good result against a Fife team that had beaten us in overtime what felt like about 2 days before with all these midweek games, but a couple of weeks earlier. Devils then kept on rolling. The games keep on coming fast at the moment as well. With the first trip to Manchester of the year, a rink that notoriously produces ice hockey that's really unpleasant to watch. It was a really nice surprise to have a game that was pretty much enjoyable all the way through. It was the first Saturday away game that I've been on this year, so my memory is slightly hazy, to be perfectly honest. It was a hell of a trip. But you meet game, Sean, in that five goals scored by the Devils and all five coming from the blue line. Unusual to see something like that happening with all your D-men grabbing the goals.
Yeah, especially where we are built with quite a mobile D, which helps us to create offense on a larger Olympic pad. So to get five scorers, to get five goals from all from defensemen is, it doesn't happen, especially it doesn't happen on an Olympic pad, let alone on the smallest pad in the league. And I thought we deserved to win. And, in all honesty, I thought we probably deserved to win in regulation. We gave it absolutely everything. I thought that the refereeing, or the officiating in general, was up there with the worst performances I've seen. And it's certainly the worst I've seen in a long, long time from the linesman referees. I just thought that it absolutely killed the momentum of what should have been an absolute... It was a great game in any case, but it should have been an absolute classic. Which, as you said, Paul, we've not had many of them in that building, and it's normally been quite greasy, ugly goals, but some absolutely wonderful goals from the Devils. Bryce Reddick's two in particular were absolute rockets. Both power play goals with assists from Hedden, and that guy Joey Haddad getting power play minutes yet again. And I think that's the perfect place for him to play on the power play and special teams. He did have
I'm convinced that Joey Haddad has played power play on D all season.
I just don't think I've noticed it that much, but.
Right, okay.
You know, you normally play Pope on the point, and I don't know, it just feels like we haven't seen as much as him as we have in previous years. It may just be me, I may be absolutely losing my mind, but.
Definitely just you, Sean.
It's just me, then. There we go.
I think Pope's out there with the Martin line, and Haddad's out there with Reddick and the long lay head Dixon line. But it's interesting this year, whereas quite often last year you had Andrew Hotham running all 2 minutes of the power play. So a little bit of a different dynamic to see us sharing defensive duties across the power play. Totally. Just to disagree with you. But you know, as you said, there was two power play goals from, Bryce Reddick, Fournier with the two in the first, both off Joey Martin assists. Almost identical goals, Gleeson Fournier's in the first. But after each one, Manchester hit back. Going to the third, Devils with a goal up, Manchester again pulled the game back and then took the lead. And I think both of us, Sean, didn't necessarily fancy our chances of coming from behind in the last 10 minutes in Manchester. But, you know, that guy Reddick on the power play keeps it all tied up and takes us into overtime. And overtime, I think it might be the first overtime scene I've seen it on the small ice with 3-on-3. It's absolutely hectic. You know, while you get a lot of breakaways on, you know, ice our size, you know, they take time to to materialise, you can watch the player going down the ice. It felt almost like pinball at times with, you know, pucks just going around one way and straight up the other. It's an interesting way of watching hockey. And Drew Sistel getting his first Devils goal, Sean, with another great shot off a rebound from Joey Martin to seal the win.
Yeah, and great for Sistel to get a goal in the early days of his Charlotte Devils career. He obviously hasn't played since last year. He's a little bit out of shape in terms of his game conditioning, but especially as well, I think it was his error on the penalty kill which led to Manchester getting the go-ahead goal. So good to give him that boost of confidence and good to take 2 points, which, like I said, I thought we thoroughly deserved on the night.
Yeah, definitely. And you have 4 wins on the bounce for the Devils then, heading into a home game against Milton Keynes, where I think your confidence was starting to come back in the rink. I think there weren't too many doubts in people's minds. And I got, you know, on a personal level, after the first 2 periods, seeing us put 30 shots on Milton Keynes and only having a 1-goal lead, I was still very confident. I think I joked with a couple of people that felt like one of those games where they were going to get a goal back and make it uncomfortable. But, you know, Aaron, for you, the opening from the Devils, were you happy with the performance, aside from potentially the finishing?
First period was fantastic. It's kind of like the Fife game, you know, all of the puck, all the possession, all of the offensive zone time, just none of the goals, but we did come up against another goal, really good goaltender, so very understandable. And then, for me, like the second period, I don't feel like we had that jump. I think because we had it was 1-goal lead at this point, if I'm right.
Yeah.
I think because we had that 1-goal lead and we played well, I think, you know, we went down the gears a little bit and not softened up, but we let Milton Keynes play their game. You know, they played a little bit physical. They got 2 very, very, very good skilled lines with a lot of speed, and you know they done an Andrew Lord special, and it seemed like they played 2 lines for 40 minutes. And you know, where it doesn't always work out for us, it worked out for them, and infuriating that we couldn't score. You know, it's been a problem for a while, our scoring. There's a couple of guys, like I mentioned, Matt Pope earlier, it was his first goal in God knows how many games. There's a couple of guys who's not on it at the moment, and I think that's what let us down last night. You know, he was a good goalkeeper, but I think we hit the post, I think Redick hit the post, I'm pretty sure someone hit the crossbar. It was just everywhere but the back of the net, and you know I was going to win games like that. And I think the game-winning goal from I'm not even going to try and butcher his name, but the Milton Keynes guy, we just let him skate all the way through. Everyone was worried about a pass, and shooting lane opened up, he took his chance and game over.
Yes, it's just score feels an issue. You know, after Milton Keynes did get that first goal on a power play early in the third, Devils got one back through Joey Adair on the power play, Sean, and just felt like it was 4 minutes later, just getting that go-ahead goal again. You just think, right, we'll calm down now, we'll see it out. And, you know, to concede with just a minute left in regulation was sloppy. And then, you know, as Aaron said in overtime, the goal was just, it felt like something that we've said a lot on the podcast, but the defense just opened up and they're just letting people pretty much go where they want to get a shot off against Ben Bounds. And, you know, he's coming in for some criticism for some soft goals, and there are the odd soft goals. Every goal he lets them in. But if you're going to keep letting players just skate into the slot unopposed, you're going to get scored on, and you could have whoever you want in the net, but that's the case. Just a baffling game, Sean. And is it the finishing that was you know, let us down there that cost us the result, you think?
Yeah, I just can't fathom how we weren't light years ahead after that, after those two periods. And I personally thought we played fairly well. Obviously, it wasn't our best performance, but off a tough game in Manchester the night before, I felt like we just had to, you know, do the bare minimum to get a result. And I thought we did more than was required to get a good result. But just, again, a little bit of complacency towards the end of the game and not closing out, grinding out that last couple of minutes for a victory. And as you said, we're collapsing very, very quickly and letting people get shots on Bounds, and who's not playing with a great deal of confidence at the moment. You know, we know how good Bounds he is, and I don't think he's been at his best this season. But overall, yeah, I just can't believe we didn't win that hockey game.
Yeah, it's just, you should say Bounds isn't playing with confidence. I think that's fair. I think some of the things that you've seen in front of him cannot be put in him in the most confident frame of mind. It's baffling, some of the defensive decisions we're making, and
I think you can not give slack, because you can't, but I think that if you think there's two new D-men that we've slotted in to replace the two that have left, and Richie's out again, he wasn't playing with in top Richie form as we know prior to this injury anyway. So, and then you've got two D-men like Reddick and Gleeson Fournier who love to go forward, and they do make those errors. I like the D at the moment is all up in the air, because there's so many changes. Like, you got Evan Mosey, he's a great D-man, but he usually plays forward. He did play a lot of D for Nottingham. So, and he's trying to find his role in the team. And then you've got, I don't call him something I shouldn't call him, but Scheidt still, you know, it's only his fourth game all year, not match fit, and we're chucking him in situations like, I know he did score the overtime winner, and well done, Drew, for that, but is it really safe to be chucking a D-man new to the league team and a smaller, different ice pad than what he's used to, chucking him into the deep end? You know, that could have backfired and we could have lost that game. I'm not saying it's coaching decisions, but I think it's a lot more down. I wouldn't say it's down to Bouncy at all, but I think not that we're carrying players, but I think there's too many players at the moment that have found themselves in a very deep scoring slump. Like, I don't want to call any players out, but like I said, Pope have only scored one in God knows how many games. I was just on a point streak, and I noticed Heddin hasn't scored a game in goal in 13 games. And you know, when a guy like Mike Heddin, who was scoring for absolute fun in the CHL, you know, our top point scorer, and then joining into our elite league season and he goes into the slump like that, it doesn't help our scoring. Like, he couldn't pay for a goal against Milton Keynes. He had open net. I know the goalie pulled some wonderful saves, but I think for me, it's down to more scoring than defending at the moment, because defending, we're going to have those errors. But I think there's 3, 4, 5 players that aren't on this scoring like they were at the beginning of the year now. Right. And we can't finish. We can't close games out if we can't score goals.
We were talking a little bit later. You've sort of said about carrying players, and your players go through patches where they don't score. You know, your very best players who perform week in week out will do that, and it's just the nature of the beast in all sports. But I think what my concern is that for the second time this season, for the second time in I think less than 4 weeks. Andrew Lord's given an interview saying that players have turned up to the rink and they weren't ready to go. I can't remember a single interview from Andrew Lord saying that. He's called players out, he's called teams out in interviews. He does it rarely. And, you know, I think that's something that everyone says about him is, you know, is a good thing. He'll take the blame before the players 9 times out of 10. But he's been willing to, but he's always questioned systems and the way they've played. I don't remember in the last, well, four and a bit years hearing I had players that I knew weren't ready to play. And I am baffled by that. And I think I'm more baffled that we've still got every player that started the season, other than Ben Blood, who left of his own accord. Because if you've twice called out players for that, is that the only time this happened? It always seems like a knee-jerk thing to call for player changes. And I know we've had conversations about it in the last couple of seasons where we've had, you know, bad runs of form. And I think where we've said we'd like to have seen some changes, the last 2 years we've been proved dramatically wrong, and I'd love to be again. But where the coaches kept questioning the desire and commitment of players that are turning up, I don't think it was particularly noticeable on Sunday. As a spectator, as a fan, it didn't look like there were people coasting around. I think there have been games where I've thought that. I'm concerned, because if it's happened twice for me, I'd have expected to see player changes already. But, you know, Sean, that's something that must be causing great concern within the club. And, you know, for you, is that something you want to see addressed sooner rather than later? Or would you look to...
I would like to see it addressed. But then you look at the players we've... Look at players we've sort of thought about calling out or the last couple of weeks. And, you know, one of them, Aaron mentioned, you know, Mike Hedman scored a goal in 13. Although Mike Hedman played an absolute blinder on Sunday. It was absolutely working his absolute bag off, chasing down every puck, skating hard, getting himself into good areas, but the finish wasn't coming for him on this occasion. I think that if that is something which is set into the group, then we have a real issue in terms of leadership. And that's something which I am shocked at, based on the fact we still have the same captain. Assistants are exactly the same from memory.
I think so, yeah.
I just can't. Something's going wrong somewhere, and for all the same things to be in place, the coaching staff, your captaincy, something must be going very, very wrong outside of that.
Coaching staff has changed though.
Yeah, in a slight way, but I don't think that it's, you know, changed our philosophy or the way that we prepare or anything like that. And so I think that if players are coming without the mentality of playing hard, then someone needs to be made an example of and shown that we won't stand for it. And I think in the past when we wanted changes because players haven't been performing very well, but I don't think on many occasions we've questioned their commitment and work rate. And never has it been questioned by the coach. And this is, like you said, Paul, the first time in Andrew Lord's tenure that has come about. And that's concerning. And I think that means that we will, you know, I think if we get a third strike, I think it'll be, you know, panic stations and time to look at making an adjustment in terms of that area of our lineup.
Yeah. Aaron, for you, do you, as a risk that players potentially returning, potentially new, look at the club almost as a bit of a soft touch now that there's not been any changes in four, you know, Devils haven't sacked anyone in four seasons. It's not something that's really been talked about or even mooted as a possibility in interviews. Do you think that there's the risk that there's players that might come in with that almost untouchable attitude and that could be the cause of, you know, the issues that Andrew Lord's raising?
I can't think of a player this season that they might have like Sean said, Mike Edden have missed a few games where he haven't been up there. But like he said, like I'd say this week he played very well, and I think the week before he had a decent game as well. So, but I don't think there's many players where you can't. And question their efforts. Maybe they might not be turning up in the dressing room, but I think I can't think of a player that could do all other than finding the back of the net that can do more than what they're doing now.
I think if a player was turning up not in the right frame of mind, and then playing hard for 60 minutes, I'd be surprised if that got brought up. So, as I said, I didn't see anything on Sunday, but
that's what I mean. It just seems weird for Lord to say, like, he's obviously seeing something we're not, and that's what it boils down to. But I think the lineup was possibly a little bit wrong come Sunday. I know Benty missed Saturday as well, and he possibly is carrying a knock. But for me, Bentivoglio is one of the players this season that absolutely gives 110% every game. He's getting his name on our score sheet. He's working as hard as he goes forward as he does when he comes back. And, you know, you could possibly say we missed him Sunday. And, you know, he is one of those players that got that killer instinct in front of the net. And, you know, power play as well. I think Morissette lined up with in Benty's place this week, and when Alma didn't play last week, he played in Alma's place, and quite a few times where you'd possibly see Benty or Alma bury those goals in front of the net, you didn't, like, Jake was fanning on shots, and, you know, he didn't look comfortable there, you could say, because, you know, he'd been chucked in the deep end or whatever, but I think, and Farina as well, he's a great player. He brings that energy. He brings those levels of intensity. You guys seen him more in Manchester than I did in Milton Keynes, but I thought he had a really poor game in Milton Keynes, and when he moved up to the lineup, moved up the line and played with Martin and Pope, for me, on Sunday, you might have a different opinion, but for me, he didn't offer anything. I don't think, like, top line minutes suit his game of play. And he's also another player that's out of form with zilch points since the league campaign has started. So,
in few games, obviously. I think it's a good point. I think he played well on the first on Saturday, just to go back to it.
I'm not saying he played bad.
Oh, no, that it didn't work. But I think what I was going to say is I agree that his Crash Bang style of play, potentially, especially on big ice, probably doesn't suit first line minutes as much. Whereas in Manchester on that small pad, yeah, I think he worked really effectively on that top line, and it was a good addition. But I can see that once you move on to the big ice, if he wants to have that same impact, he's got to skate twice as far to do it. And then the impact on the next shift might be lessened.
He's gaps as well, which is what I saw. But that's just my opinion. I don't want people to think I'm calling out Farina or Morissette, but for me, I think those changes in the lineup, like in special teams and like the amount of minutes that Farina was getting, I don't think it worked. But then who would you play in instead of Farina on that top line? Because you're not going to break up Hedin, Dixon and Langley, because it works well. And Christ, if Farina can't keep up with it, Lane Elmer ain't going to keep up with it, is he? So... You know, 38 years old, you don't expect him to, but so who do you play in that? Maybe Joey Dad could have slotted in up there, and Farina could have carried on his, like, the style of playing he's been playing at the moment, which has been effective. But for me, Sunday, I think our special teams were off, and I do think that Farina playing up the, not saying he doesn't deserve it, because he is
playing goal scoring wise. It's almost a sensible decision, because I think last year he was either our top or almost our top goal scorer in the league.
Goal every other game.
Yeah, so you know we can do it. It's just, it potentially didn't work. But I think the logic behind the move probably made sense. But you know, if Benty does miss more games, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, like you said, to see it changed up. And I think Joey Adad is a really good shout as a player that has just found his scoring touch over the last few games as well. We've seen him bag a couple on the power play, and you know, maybe he could take that confidence and make it work there. But you know, hopefully if Benty was out due to carrying a knock, it's a slight one, and we've got a full complement of imports to choose from again. And you know, Andrew Lord can, you know, pick the team that works with the lines rather than having to fit the lines with the players that he's got fit at the moment, which, to be fair, has been the case for nearly every game this season. So it's, yeah, it's an interesting one. We've gone quite, I was going to talk about that a little bit later because I didn't really want to talk about the games in a really negative way. Because for me, we've had five games. We've had, you know, games against two of the top teams in the league in Panthers, Flyers, a visit to Dundee on a Sunday, a visit to Manchester, a place where we've struggled last year to get results. And then Milton Keynes at home. And we've taken 9 out of 10 points there after some really, you know, what was a slump and, you know, some bad performances and results. And yeah, I didn't want to deflect that. It was just the conversation went that way, so we took it. I think there's definitely still stuff to work on. Even before you get on to the point that Andrew Lord raised after the MK game, you know, I think it's clear we're not scoring as much as we'd like, but hopefully that corner's, if not being turned, we're halfway around the corner, and we'll just see the team keep moving in the right direction, even if Sunday maybe was a little bit of a bump in the road that we weren't expecting. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the end of the MK game. Let's choose a player of the week. Aaron, who gets your vote?
I hate it when you come to me first because you know I haven't thought about it.
It's a surprise every week.
Do you want me to go first? Because I've actually chosen mine. So
yeah, go.
Okay. I am going to go with a player that I've been very impressed with. A couple of weeks ago, you would have had my thoughts on his addition to the lineup. I'm going to go with Evan Mosey. He's 4 games and 4 assists. I think he's playing very well. I think he's slotted in perfectly, moves the puck well. I think going forward, he's added a bit of a different dynamic to our, you know, obviously we just said the goals aren't quite there at the moment, but when we get our offense going, I think he's going to be a fantastic addition. With a bit of luck, he'll get to play some forward minutes when Mark Richardson returns. And I have enjoyed watching every game he's played, and I'm happy to be proven wrong, and I'm really, really impressed with what I've seen from him on a regular basis. So, Evan Mosey for me.
Oh, that's an underwhelming selection. Check your tweets. Horrible. Aaron, have you made your mind up yet? Because I have, if you haven't.
I have. For me, it's Joey Haddad. You know, he was unlucky on Saturday. I'm just basing it on Sunday at the moment because Saturday is a blip to me. You know, he was unlucky to get that first goal he scored Sunday night, but he made up for it by scoring again. And he's one of the players that, like, when he can't be one of the players the Lord's talking about with the effort, because that guy lives, breathes, sleeps, drinks, eats cocktails, gives it all every game. And I can't remember the last time that Joey Haddad had a bad game, and I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves. Like, he's another guy like Joey Martin that's been here from the beginning of this new ownership, and not that he lives in Martin or anyone's shadows, but he is one of the key guys that, you know, gets his train going, and he's the type of player that can grab the game by the scruff and absolutely win you games, and nearly done it Saturday, Sunday, sorry, but he didn't quite. So, yeah, Joey Haddad for me.
I hate having a player of the week where we don't have a winner. But I'm sticking with my guns, with my pick. To be fair, in terms of being proven wrong, similar to Sean, my pick goes to Bryce Reddick. He is playing easily the best hockey he's played as a Cardiff Devil for me over the last couple of weeks. I think there's at least 2 games that the Panthers home and then Flyers at home where he's put his hand, and Manchester away, where you could each one of those probably point out as being his best game in a Devil shirt, you know, for various reasons. His offensive upside is there. He's got that confidence in front of goal. I didn't know he had that shot on him to the quality it is. You know, even he got the tip. It was his shot that led to the tip for Duggan's first goal. So it's Bryce Reddick for me. I'm not changing my vote. If anyone else wants to, we can have a winner, but no, Sean and Aaron have gone very, very silent on that and don't want to break the deadlock.
Go on, I'll go with Bryce Reddick.
Bryce Reddick's the winner. Excellent. I love being right. gonna round the show out as just Sean and myself. We've had party for the first 40 odd minutes. We're going to have a lack of party just as we wrap the show up. Aaron's got to go and run some errands. So we've just spoken about Evan Mosey and Bryce Reddick, Sean. Just a quick chat about another defenseman. Drew Schistel coming in. You know, we've touched on him a couple of times, in the fact that he's played three games this season and has taken a regular shift in everyone and, you know, even getting 3-on-3 minutes and a 3-on-3 goal. How do you think he's settling in and, you know, do you feel he's going to be a good addition to the team? Or do you think he already is, but you know, when he's fully up to speed, what are you expecting?
Yeah, I'm really impressed already. I really like his game. I think he's very, reminds me a lot of Tyson Strachan in how calm and composed he is. I think at the moment he's made a couple of errors, but that'll come. He's obviously rusty in terms of his game. His touch isn't quite there. Obviously, game fitness and conditioning we've talked about. But he'll take him a while to get used to playing with Bryce Reddick. He's quite a big guy, but very, very mobile. I think he's a very, very good skater. And he's shown that he's got a decent shot, scored the game-winning goal in Manchester. I think he's going to be a really, really good acquisition for us. Maybe not quite at the heights that Tom Parisi, you know, was hyped up to be. Ben Blood, a little bit similar to Blood in the way that he plays. I don't think he's going to be quite the same as him, but I think he'll bring us a bit of a similar dynamic and partnering with Bryce Reddick. I think I'm really looking forward to seeing what he brings when he gets game fit and used to systems. And he's adapted really well to when we throw him in the deep end without his conditioning. So when he gets used to our systems and the way we play along with his conditioning, I think he'll be a real, real asset to us.
Yeah, I think got to agree with that. Even from looking at the size of him, I think I was impressed with the way that he moves the puck and you know, some of the passes that he's making out of defence had already shown. I think he's going to really help us with the transition game, which is something that I hope we'd improve on. And you know, having Evan Mosey come in has definitely given us you know, different options in that way. I think it's worth noting that while his condition needs to come up, it's clear this is a guy that's stayed in decent shape you know, throughout not playing. He's come in and is living with the minutes. It's just that fine-tuning that'll we'll see those errors hopefully sort of start to slip away and maybe you see that a little bit more from him.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, we had a question from our last episode from Adrian Smith, Sean, which I'm hoping you've got ready.
I do. Adrian Smith says, I know I've missed this for you. What are your opinions on the uni deals? Although it's good for attracting higher quality players, does it adversely affect the player's ability during games due to the level of uni work on top of training? Paul, in advance of this, you asked me to make a note of all the NBA players we've had since Andrew Lord and the new ownership. So just going through the list here, in 14-15 was Tyson Marsh, Brent Walton and Andrew Hotham. In 15-16 was Lee Salters, Joey Martin and Joey Haddad. In 16-17 was Lane Ulmer, Gleason Fournier and Scott Hotham. In 17-18 was Matt Pope, Drew Parris, Mark Lewis and Tyson Strachan. And in 18-19 we have Steve Dixon, Ben Blood, Charles Longley and Sean Bentivoglio taking the place that Tom Parisi would have taken. Paul, does anyone stand out there in terms of players who've been adversely affected by the NBA deal?
It's an awkward one to talk about. I think Lane Ulmer was better for us last season than in his first season. Whether that was him getting to speed with you know, the league, obviously playing in a different league than he was in before. He was quite settled in his previous, in the Italian league. And I think became a new parent as well during that season. So he had a lot of things going on. And it's not like he underperformed in that season. It was just he was better the year after. Gleeson Fournier, Scott Hoffman were excellent in that year with him. I think Lee Salters with us didn't have a great year, but you would put that down to, I think he had a lot of injury issues rather than anything else. Martin and Haddad in their second seasons with us didn't have bad years. We got Andrew Hoffman in on it. That worked out all right for us, I think, in the long term. Brent Walton as well. Potentially Brent Walton would be the only one. I know he had his second year with us was sadly cut short through injury, but I think he kicked on massively in that second year. And it's hard whether you put that down to the Uni deal again, but Tyson Marsh coming back, taking a place, not an issue. Drew Parris, I think, would probably stand out as a player that didn't do what we expected of him, but again, he looked all right until he had an injury. Whether that affected him for the rest of the year, who knows? And Stephen Dixon doesn't seem to be being affected by it, or Charles Longley, two guys who are definitely playing out their skin at the minute. Benty, we've spoken about, he's only just started it, to be fair, but he's having a really good year with us. And Ben Blood, I don't think we can blame the Uni deal for the fact he's not here anymore. I think there are definite issues with it. I think, especially, I suppose it's the nature of a hockey season and an academic year that I'd imagine the workload ramps up just as the season's ramping up as well. And maybe it can cause a few issues with guys maybe having to pull late nighters to get work done, especially if there's like a big, a late night back on a Sunday, if they got class on a Monday morning or however it works for them. I can't imagine it's easy to manage, but I think the upside way outweigh it. We've got you've got Andrew Hoffman on it, Scott Hoffman on it, Tyson Strachan in on it, Dixon in on it, Longley in on it, Lane Ulmer in on it. They're all players that have come in because of a Uni deal. And every one of those has delivered something. We got Lee Salters in on one, and whilst it wasn't the season that we wanted from him, I have not been as excited as a signing as I was for Lee Salters at the time. One of my favourite players from around the league. So I think while there's issues there, I think it's one of the best recruitment tools that we've got. And when you see teams moaning about our budget, I think they forget the fact that there's four players a year who will happily accept a lesser wage than they would demand from clubs that don't offer that, because it is such a valuable asset. And
That's how we got Salters, because Bray couldn't offer him that MBA.
Yeah, there wasn't one.
So it was a deciding factor in that signing. Obviously, like you said, it didn't quite work out, but we still got a signature, which was one of our highest targets. So
we've signed a guy straight out of the KHL. I'm not convinced he's looking. Is Charles Longley really looking at the Elite League as a destination when he's probably only got a year or two left in hockey at his age? Probably not, to be honest, but there you go. You get that NBA, and we're an English-speaking country, coming to the AHL helps, I would guess, though I'm sure he's all right with languages. But, I think that there are downsides, and I think it's probably something that the club needs to maybe try and manage, and I'm sure they do as best they can. Like, if you go to some events, often it's the Uni guys that aren't able to attend because they've either got class or work to do, and the club are obviously making those allowances. But no, for me, it's such a valuable tool. And in a league that we can't attract the highest players, we need to take every advantage we can. And regardless of what people say, I'm not convinced that we're top of the charts in terms of budget. I think if you added on the value that this adds, we are right up there because we're up there in the league. But I think it's deals like this that put us there rather than actual revenue. Invaluable.
Sure. I think the other way I look at it is, you look at it brought Andrew Hotham here for 4 years, which is massive. Tyson Strachan was arguably the signing of the season last year, brought in on an NBA. Charles Longley is our most productive player at the moment this season on an NBA. I think you're right, Paul. It can have some adverse effects, but on balance, I think it's, one of the best things in terms of our recruitment that we can offer. I think I'm looking at Andrew Lord era here, but I think Lord was one of the NBA players as well, with Cardiff Met. So
yes, that's what
in his first year. So without that, we wouldn't have any of these players, and arguably a lot of the success we have had. But so you know, thanks Cardiff Met, really do appreciate it in from the bottom of my heart. But in terms of recruitment, it's a massive tool. It does bring down the wage demands, and I think more than anything, it even if Cardiff isn't your destination, I think that you can. You look at a guy like Steve Dixon, who's come from the DEL. He probably is not looking at this league either. And, you know, I love Cardiff, but, you know, when you think of all the other places in the world, you can go, it's more, you know, if Steve Dixon's here next year on a full-time contract without his MBA, it's the MBA that brought him here in the first place to discover Cardiff. And it's a lot of the reason which people have, you know, ended up staying here. Lane Ulmer's another one. Whether he intended on playing on after that year, who knows? He's been here, this is his third season. So, yeah, I think it's an invaluable tool for us. And it does have an adverse effect, but on balance, I think it's a positive thing.
And who's to say we'd have got Gleeson Fournier back after that? Yeah. You know, he came partway through a year. Actually, did we sign him with the intent of going on one, I believe?
No, we didn't. Did we sign him on a year and a half deal? Possibly.
That's what I was thinking. That
I would imagine so.
So potentially that's how we got. And if it's got Gleeson Fournier a year, it's worth it, regardless of everything else.
Yeah, totally.
Just watching Gleeson Fournier play hockey has been great fun. So I think it's an interesting question, Adrian. But yeah, I think we're quite unanimous in that the positives outweigh the negatives that you know are surely there. Right. Very quickly, there's a trip to Brea tomorrow, Sean. It's a first leg. It's not that important. It is important. It's a quarterfinal. It's, I think, in terms of revenue for the club, probably one of the biggest games in terms of getting a semi-final gate and a decent gate for the second leg. But your thoughts heading up there? They're a very close 1-0 win the last time you went to Brea.
Yeah, and it's a good time for the guys to take a trip together and do a bit of soul searching. I think you know, tracking back to when we talked about, you know, guys not turning up ready to play. I think you look at the lines we've got, and that means that there needs to be someone on one of those lines. Obviously, they need to be playing on a line, and their line mates need to be holding them accountable. So I think after that, Andrew Law doesn't do scathing interviews. And after that one, I think guys are going to really have to come up front and show their worth. And I wouldn't be surprised to see us come away with a couple of goals to come into the home leg. And I don't really rate Breyer's goalie. Don't think much of him. I think we've had a couple of.
Oh, there's a shout out coming for that.
Yeah, probably. I'll take 0-0 now. I think we should be okay. I'd expect to see a result tomorrow with us at least ahead by one, at least winning the game.
Definitely. I'd be more than happy with that. Same is a good time to take a trip, so might as well be a good time to take two, because I can't imagine the Devils are staying up there till Saturday, but back up north to Scotland they'll go for a trip to Fife, and it really does play in Fife constantly at the moment. We said it, we're going to be facing the top goalie yet again, Shane Owen. they've run us close. There was that... The demolition that we had against them a few weeks back when they'd had a difficult travel schedule to get down for 4 o'clock face off. They've beaten us in overtime. We've beaten them by the odd goal this week gone. Is this our first trip to Fife, Sean?
Yes, it is.
So strange to play all your home games before playing them away, but never an easy place to go. And we seem good for a loss there most seasons, at least once.
Yes. It's a very, very tough building to go. They have created some very, very good teams over the last couple of years that we faced up there. And as you said, goaltending is a very, very big strength of theirs. We're in for a battle on Saturday, especially after having to go to Glasgow on Wednesday and play Brea. It's a very, very hard week for us to go and play Fife. I don't think they have a midweek game looking at it. I know they didn't make it through the Challenge Cup, so whether they have a league fixture to fulfill this week, I'm not sure, but they're going to be fresh. We're going to have a bit of travel behind us and some tired bodies, and it's a big one, no doubt about it. I think we need to at least pick up a point there to, you know, keep the point streak going at least. And I probably will get the webcast, and it's a game which I'm a little bit nervous for and a bit worried, but hopefully we can come up trumps. Bouncy can stand on his head and pull off a couple of key saves and show that we've got some pretty solid goaltending and one of the best goalies in the league as well, and get the offense going again would be good. It's a nice big ice pad up there, so it's quite an intimidating place to go, but we should feel right at home on that ice surface, and let's hopefully bring a point home at least.
Yeah, and just to know, it is their first game of the week, that event. They haven't got a midweek game. So, yeah, a rested 5-team after a bit of travel for the Devils. So, takes us into Sunday's game, home against Dundee. You're on the back of that 6-3 win up there just a couple of weeks back. It's the Teddy Toss game. Make sure you get those with you. It's always a good event. Hopefully it'll go a little bit better than Nottingham's from a couple of weeks ago.
And Braid's when we went there. Guido Set scored the overtime winner.
Yes, in a 1-0 overtime result for Teddy Toss night. But to be fair, at least Braehead waited until the final buzzer to throw them on, unlike Nottingham, who decided just for the next whistle in play with 10 minutes left, which I think went down really well with their fans. Dundee were a good team, and seeing them, you know, knowing they've taken us to overtime, is it surprising to you, Sean, when you see them sort of languishing right at the bottom of the table?
I really like a lot of Dundee's players. They seem to have built a pretty good squad, and we obviously won that game up there in overtime. The other game up there, we won quite comfortably. Did we play them at home and trounce them as well?
I feel like that's memory.
I feel like we have played them at home. So, but you know, it's
5-2 win back in October.
It's just, you know, we talk about it and it's the same thing all the time. It's another big game. The pressure is on us to put a little bit of a run back together. Belfast, I believe, are in Sheffield this week on a double header. Correct me if I'm wrong. So if they pick up 4 points there, we obviously need to keep hot on their heels, being 4 points behind with a game in hand. And Dundee are in Belfast midweek in the Challenge Cup tomorrow, I believe.
Belfast are in Dundee midweek.
Belfast are in Dundee, excuse me. And then Coventry go up there to play them on the Saturday. So they've got obviously the home game on the Saturday before the second longest trip in the league, I believe.
Which is
Dundee to Cardiff. The first one is Dundee to Guildford.
Yes, I would have thought that's slightly further.
So they are in for a tough travel day. I think they'll be bussing it, obviously. But yeah, we'll have played we'll have had a hard game in Fife the night before. So it could be one of those tired legs games. I'm not expecting a classic, to be quite honest with you. But it's a home game. We got to pick up 2 points, especially with our rivals playing at a tough building and against a resurgent Sheffield team at the moment as well. So we just need to keep winning, you know, keep winning some games and put a bit of momentum together. And, you know, the results that we put together early on in the season, that talent hasn't, you know, disappeared. We've lost a player, but when we were racking scores up, I just think we are still in our slump. The performances aren't great, but we're still picking up results. So let's just get some good performances and hopefully the results will come good for us or stay good and we can stay hot on the heels of Belfast because they're playing out of their skins right now and we need to be ready to take advantage of their defeat should they come.
Yeah, Belfast are in the league. They're on a 9-game winning streak. All of those games coming on the road as well. So hell of a run, hell of a form for the Giants. They had lost before that, but then there was a run of 8 games before that where they won out. So they've really hit form. But you know, we've hit good form this year and hit a blip. Belfast have had a blip. I'm sure there'll be another, but by the end of the year, it's just the way it goes. And as it just stay in touch of distance, and we still play them five times as well. So if they keep winning their other games, you know, there's 10 points on offer right there. So we've just got to do what we got to do. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you for your burning questions. Please do keep sending them in. We will be back hopefully sometime next week. Yet another home midweek game is going to try and scupper us, but we will try and power through and get sending out to your Thursday. We'll try and be a bit better and stop this being a fortnightly show. So get your questions into us, get your Armite suggestions in, and we'll be back really soon. Thank you for listening again. From the now gone Aaron, Sean and myself, thank you. And that is your Red Army Roundup.